Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday the 2nd of July 2024. My name is Jake and I will be compiling this week's edition, which reports on a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen by Stuart Jeffrey and Judith Piggott, and read by Ali Pravan and Judith Piggott. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Ox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access OxTalk online.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper. Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition. Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to OxTalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.
In case it's useful to you, the daylight hours this week are around 5 o'clock to 9:30.
Oxford University said it blocked access to a pro-Palestine encampment to protect its property and for public safety. Dozens of tents were erected across the lawn in front of the Pitt Rivers Museum last month in protest of Oxford University's stance on the war in Gaza. Students in the Oxford Action for Palestine group are demanding the university cease financial support for Israel and support the Palestinian-led rebuilding of education in Gaza. On the 23rd of June at about 7 a.m, the university erected metal fences around the encampment. A sign was put up which read, "This site is temporarily closed on public safety grounds and to prevent further damage to university property. Unauthorized access is prohibited." A second sign explained that the property inside the camp would be held in storage until the 22nd of July 2024 and then disposed of. In a statement, Oxford University said, "The lawn outside the Museum of Natural History is an important space for our many visitors to enjoy and relax in. We have temporarily fenced off the area in preparation for returning it to public use, to avoid further damage to the lawn and to remove any hazards to the public that may have been left. We are also looking to prevent damage to the lawn's irrigation system and associated warranties, the protective membrane for the lawn and the museum's collections beneath. This land is for everyone at the university and our visitors, and we are taking these steps in the interest of public safety and preserving our own property and collections." Protesters have set up a second encampment at the Radcliffe Camera and are hoping to turn the Pitt Rivers Museum into a community space with painted boards and raised beds. A proposed community gardening event scheduled today prompted their action, the university said. Over the last week, the encampment members were informed on several occasions that there could be no gardening, and urgent action was required when they were advertised today's event yesterday morning, they said. And the Oxford for Palestine group said the action was taken with no prior communication to OA4P, despite OA4P repeatedly expressing a commitment to the university to continue using the space. Amy Tess Grillis, a political student at Keble College, who was inside the fence, said, "We've been in ongoing dialogue with the university for a week now. We made it so clear how important both these two sites are to us." She said, "When they started working on a garden, there were concerns about what is under the soil, which is why we brought in raised beds, so there'd be no digging."
A new climbing centre with indoor climbing walls for all levels has opened in Oxford. Gallery Bouldering at Marston Street has over 100 metres of bouldering wall with problems for beginners to expert level, and the world's first hydraulic moon board, which can be set at anything from 25 degrees to 40 degrees. There is also a gym with a bench and squat rack, kettles, dumbbells, dip station, pull-up bars, stall bars, rings, wooden hand grips, an assault bike and a dual cable machine. Jericho Coffee Traders has opened a new cafe in the centre, serving speciality coffees, cakes, pastries, pizzas and beer above the climbing on the mezzanine, with light, space and plug sockets. The coffee company, which has a flagship cafe on Oxford High Street. Full details of the application can be inspected on the licensing register at www.oxford.gov.uk. Any representation about the application should be made in writing. Jericho Coffee Traders started in 2009 when the owners bought a tuk-tuk for sale at the side of the road. This was used as a base for the business, which has since expanded to 5 locations across the county.
Car tyres have been deflated in Oxford neighbourhoods, as activists behind the crime say they are taking action due to the climate emergency. Tyres have been attacked in the Iffley Fields area of the city, with a member of the Global Tyre Extinguishers group behind it. The culprit then distributed a flyer which said, "We have deflated one or more of your tyres." The Tyre Extinguishers group describes itself as a leaderless, autonomous movement of groups that act independently. It lists a step-by-step guide on its website outlining how to deflate an SUV tyre, and then provides a copy of a flyer in multiple languages that can be distributed following the offence. East Oxford Cowley Road trader Amir Steve Ali, who is standing as an independent for the general election, said, "SUV drivers pay road tax like everyone else. Some people might need to use their car to pick up an elderly person and will be left stranded as a result of these actions. This is not the right way of trying to do good for the environment. It is a cowardly act, and if they are brave enough, then they will stop playing hide and seek." An Iffley Fields resident who did not wish to be named said, "The Green Party and other vocal anti-car campaigners are likely to have had an unintentional hand in creating this situation. The effect of the divisive anti-car rhetoric around Oxford over recent years has evolved from just turning neighbours against each other, for example in conflicts over the LTNs, into actual vigilantism on the streets." The resident went on to say someone had deflated one of his rear tyres a number of years ago, and he nearly had an accident on the dual carriageway with his two young daughters in the vehicle, not realising what had happened to the car. He added, "I appreciate and agree with a lot of the Green Party's policies, but I am afraid that their values are being hijacked, distorted, and used as an excuse for criminal behaviour." Oxford East candidate Sushila Dal of the Green Party said, "The Green Party never condones violence against people, places or objects, and I am sad to hear that there are those who would seek to link us to violent and cruel actions that we would neither do nor support. It is criminal to attack people's cars and does not change thinking. In fact, it further polarises the whole debate." St Mary's Ward Green councillor Emily Kerr said, "SUVs cause the most road damage and are worse for the environment due to the weight and size."
Police were called to what appeared to be a nudist protest in Oxford city centre. Eyewitnesses have complained about what they called a pair of nude protesters who were pictured outside Oxford Town Hall on the corner of St Audates and Blue Boar Street. Pictures show the pair covered in body paint with leaves drawn on their skin. It is unclear what the pair allegedly protested, but the Oxford Mail has approached Thames Valley Police for comment. This is not the first time protesters have taken to the streets in the nude. In November 2022, a conservationist from Oxfordshire marched through London unclothed and painted as a bird as part of a campaign to support declining species in the UK. Hannah Bourne Taylor made a speech on behalf of the swift population at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, wearing dark blue, black and white body paint applied by artist Guido Daniel.
Blenheim Palace is partnering with Shaun the Sheep this summer to offer children a new trail. Shaun the Sheep Fun with the Flock AR Trail will run during the summer school holidays from the 22nd of July to the 1st of September at the Woodstock Palace's Adventure Play. The interactive Shaun the Sheep AR app will guide visitors to find 9 Fun with the Flock AR markers, unlocking animated scenes and providing challenges to complete. Along the way, families will have ample selfie moments, play musical statues, help Bitzer find the flock, and complete his checklist. During the 6 weeks of the adventure trail, families can also enter the palace's selfie competition. To take part, they can share their selfie on Instagram tagging @ShaunTheSheep and using the hashtag Blenheim Palace Adventure Play. The winner will receive a free annual family palace and play pass, as well as an adventure play themed goodie bag. Visitors will also have the chance to buy Shaun the Sheep merchandise at a special pop-up shop. Heather Carter, Managing Director of Blenheim Palace, said, "Following the success with our recent How to Train Your Dragon trail, this summer's collaboration with the world-famous animation experts Aardman is set to be hugely popular."
A trailblazing University of Oxford chemistry professor is set to be honoured with a Lifetime Achievement Award during an upcoming ceremony for inventors. The European Patent Office, EPO, has announced that British scientist Dame Carol Robinson will receive the award during the European Inventor Award ceremony in Malta. The local legend significantly improved the study of proteins, offering insights into their complex structures and interactions. The EPO said Professor Dame Carol would receive this particular honour for her extensive contributions to blood analysis and drug development, and a career that has broken new ground in biochemical research. Reflecting her pioneering spirit, she said, As a scientist, I've always been quite fearless about going in my own direction. That has been my mantra throughout my career. I never wanted to follow the crowd. Professor Dame Carroll's career also stands as a pillar for gender diversity in STEM, STEM, breaking barriers as the first full female professor of chemistry at both Oxford and Cambridge universities. Her commitment to mentorship has inspired numerous postgraduate students and early career scientists, while her work has welcomed a new era for biochemistry. Her introduction of mass spectrometry to structural biology has improved the understanding of protein interactions.
Oxford scientists have identified 13 plants that have potent wound healing and infection fighting properties in a thrilling discovery with help from some wild chimpanzees. Researchers observed the great apes in an African forest feeding on bark, dead wood, and leaves from plants that were not part of their normal diet after becoming ill or injured. Watching how chimpanzees, the closest living human relative, seek help from nature when unwell could fast-track the discovery of new drugs to treat chronic diseases and infections, the researchers said. Dr. Elodie Freeman from the University of Oxford School of Anthropology and Museum of Ethnography said, "Our study highlights the medicinal knowledge that can be gained from observing other species in the wild and underscores the urgent need to preserve these forest pharmacies for future generations." For the study, published in the journal PLOS ONE, the researchers turned detectives following 51 chimpanzees at the Badongo Central Forest Reserve in Uganda for several months. The aim was to gather behavioural clues and find out whether the primates were intentionally self-medicating. A row broke out among sections of the student body over a motion to hang a portrait of King Charles in a University College common room. Members of Magdalen College Junior Common Room, JCR, in favour of hanging the portrait, complained of being faced with intimidation and physical threats. Proposer of the motion at the JCR committee meeting, Kieran Tobin, said the JCR also refused to publish a statement wishing the king good health. Mr. Tobin said he could not attend the meeting in person, but Aaron McIntyre, JCR president, and senior dean Simon Horobin say that it's untrue. Mr. McIntyre insisted there were not enough people at the meeting to discuss the motion, and no view on its merit has been expressed by the JCR. In a statement read out, Mr. Tobin said, "The motion before the JCR is supremely uncontroversial and aims to unify the JCR under positive values inherent in the British system. Intimidation has plagued Oxford for those defending the monarchy. Intimidating supporters from appearing at the meeting meant quorum could not be reached due to groupthink and peer pressure. Supporters were afraid to participate in the meeting," he said, adding he had received abuse online and a physical confrontation involving shoulder barging. Mr. McIntyre responded, "Under the JCR's constitution, a special motion may only be considered if at least 40 students are present at the meeting. The meeting was not quorate because fewer than 40 students were present. As such, the motion was not debated. The suggestion that there have been any threats or intimidation towards the proposer of this motion is also untrue to the best of my knowledge." Magdalen's senior dean, Mr. Horobin, said, "I understand from the JCR president that a motion relating to His Majesty was put forward to the JCR, but was not debated because the meeting was not quorate. It is therefore untrue to suggest that the motion to the JCR was blocked. He said the college deans, who are responsible for welfare and discipline, have not received any report of intimidation or physical threats and would be very concerned by the allegations of conduct of that kind. If any such complaint were made, it would be investigated under the college's disciplinary procedures. Mr. Horobin said he had twice offered to meet Mr. Tobin, but Mr. Tobin did not follow up on the offers. In 2021, members of Magdalen College Middle Common Room, MCR, voted to remove a portrait of the Queen from their common room, saying the image was a symbol of recent colonial history. At the time, the president of Magdalen said the decision was one for the students, not for the college.
Barchester healthcare staff have completed a charity cycling challenge for the third consecutive year. This time, participants travelled from Johnstown in Carmarthen to Wallingford in Oxfordshire, with the aim of raising funds for Barchester's charitable foundation. The foundation supports older adults and those living with disabilities or mental health issues, helping them build connections within their communities. The cycling challenge took place over 4 days. The Barchester team cycled more than 200 miles, stopping at 14 care homes in Barchester's central division for rest and refuelling. The cycle tour stopped at White Lodge in Swindon, where the participants were greeted by staff and residents. Ramona, general manager at the White Lodge, said it was a wonderful sight to see the cyclists arriving at our home. They are absolutely amazing. What a fantastic effort. It was lovely to be able to give them some refreshments and a bit of a pit stop before they carried on their way. Our staff and residents loved helping them fundraise for Barchester's charitable foundation, which does such brilliant work helping to connect vulnerable people with their local communities.
An advocacy group called UK Lawyers for Israel has said it has contacted the Vice-Chancellor of Oxford University following the disruption of some exams by pro-Palestine protesters. An article published on the group's website, UKLFI, has said Jewish, Israeli and Zionist students are likely to suffer particular detriment where exams are disrupted by anti-Israel protesters, so should be allowed more generous marking. UKLFI said it has written to Professor Irene Tracy, University of Oxford Vice-Chancellor, regarding the disruption and cancellation of some exams. The UK of Oxford would not comment on private correspondence, though it issued a statement on the exam disruption. But the UKLFI spokesperson claimed that they had not received a response at the time of writing. Around 7 autonomous pro-Palestine protesters entered an examination around 9:15 a.m. on the 13th of June in the East Writing School building of exam schools off the High Street in Oxford. A person on site who wished to remain anonymous told the Oxford Mail the protesters hung the flag and chanted out of the window, but were then brought under control. UKLFI claimed some of the exams went ahead despite very audible noise from anti-Israel demonstrators and said that Israeli, Jewish and Zionist students are liable to suffer detriment by comparison with other students unless appropriate adjustments are made. The article said, while extraneous noise can be a distraction to those sitting examinations generally, it is bound to be much more worrying for those who are themselves or whose family, people, co-religionists and or beliefs are the target of such venomous hostility and threatening behaviour. UK LFI has also urged the university to act against the encampments and to take much more robust action to penalise and deter students involved. Jonathan Turner, Chief Executive of UK LFI, wrote, "The university's permissive attitude to date has encouraged increasing disruption." The letter suggested that even if the students or others are permitted to use land for normal purposes, they are trespassers if they use it for other purposes such as encampments. Responding to comments made by Oxford Action for Palestine that Israel's actions represent a genocide, UK LFI claimed this was false, pointing to a detailed article outlining their own views about the International Court of Justice. The OA for P group has said it was not aligned with the protests, which disrupted the exams, which the university also acknowledged. OA for P has been involved in the encampments. The group, whose membership includes several Jewish students, had called for the university to divest from and boycott Israel.
A care home in Didcot welcomed the town's fire crew for a free breakfast. George, a member of the Alma Barn Lodge care home's kitchen team, made bacon butties while the crew enjoyed tea and coffee and chatted to residents and staff. The crew said it was a lovely breakfast and warm welcome, and they would tell other crews how great the breakfast was. Care home resident Tommy Martin said it was nice to chat to the fire service and thank them for everything they do. Home manager Sue Heller added, "It was truly wonderful to host Didcot fire crew for Alma Barn Lodge's breakfast, a moment to recognise and appreciate the unwavering service of our dedicated emergency and military personnel. Their selfless commitment to keeping our communities safe is a testament to their courage and dedication. We are forever grateful for their heroic efforts." The care home is planning to welcome more emergency service workers in the future, as well as military veterans. It is one of a number of events to have taken place at the care home recently, having welcomed the community for a family fun day earlier this month. Ms. Heller said, "The family fun day was a true celebration of community spirit and togetherness. Seeing the smiles on everyone's faces as they enjoyed the various activities and attractions warmed my heart."
Oxford University Innovation, OUI, is set to welcome more than 50 investors to connect them with spin-out companies seeking investment and partnership. The event will focus on connecting investors with deep tech spin-out companies, those looking to solve problems with technological innovation, in a variety of sectors including AI, robotics, computing and more. The showcase, hosted by OUI, the university's technology transfer office, is set to feature regional and international investors such as Mubadala Capital, IP Group and SOSV. The showcase day in Oxford will provide an opportunity for spin-outs to network with other companies. It will be hosted at both the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus near Didcot and the university's Said Business School. Guests will be introduced to Oxford spin-outs including AI-driven health tech companies Brainomics and Brillpower, who are making advances in battery life, performance and sustainability for electric vehicles. Dr. Mary Gibbs, the new chief executive of OUI, said, "The solutions to some of the most pressing societal problems, from mitigating climate change to curing deadly diseases, are rooted in pioneering university research and we're extremely excited to host deep tech investors here.
Bus manufacturer Wrightbus last week took the wraps off a bold new enterprise designed to replace older diesel engines with new zero-emission electric powertrains. New Power, which has moved into a high-tech factory in Bicester, aims to speed up the decarbonisation process by eradicating diesel powertrains in older fleets at a substantially lower price than a new bus. The enterprise has created 22 jobs, 10 technicians and 12 office staff. Wrightbus becomes the first original equipment manufacturer to offer a repowering service, utilising the unique skills of its 1,800 strong workforce to swap diesel for electricity. Engineers say the conversion can take as little as 3 weeks and have space for teams to work on 6 buses at any one time, offering the potential to decarbonise 500 buses a year. The announcement from Wrightbus follows a record-breaking start to 2024, which has seen the Northern Ireland business named as the fastest growing large manufacturer in the UK and the fastest growing bus maker in the whole of Europe.
A cyclist remains in hospital in critical condition after suffering life-threatening injuries in a crash with an ambulance in Oxford. An ambulance was responding to an emergency on blue lights when it was involved in a collision with a cyclist in his 60s in Woodstock Road near the junction with Blandford Avenue. He was treated at the scene by ambulance crews before being taken to the John Radcliffe Hospital by a response car from the Thames Valley Air Ambulance team. Woodstock Road was closed both from Wolvercote Roundabout to Blandford Avenue as he was attended to. Police have since launched an investigation appealing for witnesses to the incident, which caused life-threatening injuries to the cyclist who remains in hospital. Investigating Officer PC Ruan Brink of the Joint Operations Roads Policing Unit said, "First and foremost, our thoughts are with the victim of this collision, who is in a critical condition in hospital, and his family. Our thoughts are also with the ambulance crew involved in the collision, who were responding to an emergency with blue lights on at the time. I am appealing for any witnesses to this collision to please come forward. Also, if you were driving in the area around the time of the collision and have a dash cam, please check your recording in case it has captured something that could assist us, and get in touch if you have." Jane Dianu was on Woodstock Road when the collision happened, describing it as incredibly sad. She said, "Utterly heartbreaking. I hope he makes a full recovery." South Central Ambulance Service is working closely with the police in their investigations. A spokesperson for the South Central Ambulance Service NHS Foundation Trust, SCAS, can confirm that yesterday morning, Sunday the 23rd of June, shortly after 11 a.m, an ambulance and a cyclist were involved in a collision on the Woodstock Road in Oxford. The cyclist has sustained significant injuries and was immediately treated at the scene by ambulance crews and the Thames Valley Air Ambulance team on a response car before being taken to the John Radcliffe Hospital for further assessment and treatment. Our thoughts are with the patient, their family and our crew involved in this incident. We are working closely with Thames Valley Police in their investigation, and we are not in a position to confirm anything further at this stage.
A man claiming to be a police chief inspector has attempted to scam a West Oxfordshire resident over the phone. Using an anonymous number, the man told the resident he was a detective chief inspector with the surname of Watt from Hampshire Police. He continued to say that he had a young man in custody for cloning a credit card in their name. He added that the young man claimed she was his aunt. The resident asked for a description of the young man, but the details did not match up. She was then told, in order to alleviate her suspicions, she should hang up and dial 999 and state it was not an emergency and ask them to verify his details. The resident then hung up, with Thames Valley Police confirming no officer would make an inquiry like that over the phone. A Thames Valley Police spokesperson said, "No police officer or member of police staff will make this kind of inquiry over the phone, potentially requesting to a disclosure of your personal information. Additionally, if you are requested to hang up and make another call to police, it is likely to be the same or another scammer, as the call will not have been cleared by the scammer, and you are simply still on the same scam call. If you are ever unsure, then hang up, and if possible, from a mobile, call us on 101 to report."
The incumbent MP for Oxford East has criticised controversial low-traffic neighbourhoods in the city, saying their continued rollout will worsen congestion. Labour candidate Annalisa Dodds, who has represented the constituency for the last 7 years, spoke out with her concerns about the traffic measures after other candidates also voiced their disapproval. LTNs were introduced in May 2022 in Cowley and East Oxford with the aim of making streets safer, but have since proved controversial and are blamed for increasing congestion. Ms. Dodds said, "I understand why some residents are in favour of LTNs due to their impact on producing quieter streets in the areas where they are introduced. This has made cycling and walking safer in some areas and preventing rat run. However, my concerns from the beginning of the rollout of LTNs is that they are a stick which has been introduced without any carrot or enabler of green transport, and that this has negative impacts on those who are unable to cycle or to walk to work, to use essential public services or to visit family. In addition, I have been concerned about LTN's ability to displace traffic onto arterial roads, alongside other contributors like the closure of Botley Road, increasing commuting into the city and increased numbers of delivery vehicles. I have written to the County Council and the Government repeatedly pushing these issues. I made it clear that continuing with the rollout of LTNs before bus prioritisation would worsen congestion, further negatively impact bus uptake and increase division around active travel and public transport measures in Oxford's communities. I have also made these points in Parliament. If we are to tackle the climate crisis, we have to ensure that everyone, including people on our own council estates and on low incomes, can get from A to B and travel in a cleaner, greener way. The Oxfordshire County Council spokesman said, "At Oxfordshire County Council, we want public transport, walking and cycling to be genuine options for getting around the county. LTNs are intended to make residential streets safer and more comfortable for walking, wheeling and cycling. They are designed to work with other measures to make travel easier in Oxford."
A care home in Tane celebrated Royal Ascot with a garden party. Residents at Cuttlebrook Hall took part in the home's Ascot Day by cheering on staff dressed as jockeys whilst they rode handmade hobby horses around the garden. Residents also placed bets on their favourite contestants and created signs to encourage staff through different rounds. There was a barbecue and entertainment provided by a singer, with residents dressed in their finest outfits and hats. Alana Kaur, home manager at Cutterbrook Hall, said, "We all had a fantastic time hosting our very own day at the races, especially under the brilliant sunshine. Everyone got into the spirit of the day, wearing their best outfits and fanciest hats. The races brought smiles to everyone's faces, and residents loved making their signs and cheering on the team members." She added, "Here at Cutterbrook Hall, we encourage residents to live fulfilling and active lives, and Royal Ascot is a much-loved event among residents. We have some keen punters at the home, so this was an opportunity that could not be missed. The team members who organised the event did a brilliant job, and we are looking forward to doing this again next year."
A retired doctor living with motor neurone disease, who took on a Cross England trek, has revealed how two bad falls on the opening day threatened to end the challenge. Luke Hames Brown, 35, who lives near Oxford, and his team completed the 84-mile challenge, passing his initial £5,000 fundraising target to raise more than £40,000 for My Name 5 Dodie Foundation, MND Association, and Petals. He had prepared for months, but encountered two painful falls on day one, the first just before the start line, and the second a head-first tumble 21 kilometres into the 23-kilometre first day. He was joined by his former Scarborough and Rydell mountain rescue colleagues and awarded a red jacket, normally reserved only for serving volunteers and honorary life membership. Mr. Hames Brown, who was diagnosed with MND in April last year and had been affected by viral illness in the run-up to the challenge, said, "My mission in my MND journey is to show everybody that the disease won't stop me from doing what I love, nor should it anybody. I just have to do it differently."
The sun shone on hundreds of shoppers who turned out for the first Whitney Fine Food and Craft Market. Over 40 stalls sold tasty food and baked goods, as well as unique arts and crafts made by local producers. An installation of butterflies has been put up spanning the entire length of the shopping centre, which is owned by West Oxfordshire District Council. The butterfly installation, which is not complete yet, is a replacement for last year's umbrella theme. The market was planned after the great support received for the inaugural Christmas market in December 2023. A three-day event increased footfall by 60% in the town compared to 2022, with 15,000 people visiting Marriott's Walk during the event. Cotswold Markets, which runs the events, said it is hoping to be able to establish Marriott's Walk as a key location for markets in the area.
A disabled asylum seeker has been banned from getting a transport pass, with one politician branding the move performative cruelty. Two refugees spoke out about their condition in an Oxfordshire County Council cabinet meeting, where councillors agreed the authority should be granted sanctuary status. The speakers asked whether the council could make public transport free for them in the light of the new status, due to the £8 a week they received not being enough to get out. One said he had had his application for a free transport pass rejected despite his disability due to government rules. In order for a council to get sanctuary status, it must endorse various values such as inclusivity and integrity and complete a 9-step application process. Speaking out at the meeting, Dr. Peter Sudbury, a Green councillor, said, "It is performative cruelty. That beautiful don't let them come legally and then punish them for coming any other route is a true stain on this country's reputation, and I'm sorry." An asylum seeker who has lived in a hotel at the Kassam Stadium for 1 year and 2 months said, "When I go outside, I spend a lot of money on transport, £2 to go and £2 to come back. Because I am disabled, I can't walk too much. One day I didn't have enough money. I walked for 3 hours. I have too many problems with transport and buses. I applied for a free bus pass and they rejected me. They said you are not allowed to get free buses because you are an asylum seeker. I want them to give us free buses because we are here to make Oxford better. We can work. We can volunteer." The other asylum seeker added, "I have been here for 1 year and 5 months. People are interested in getting involved and volunteering with different organisations, but they cannot go out with the transport barrier. We get £8 per week. That is not enough for us to go and get involved." Cabinet Member for Transport Management and Liberal Democrat Andrew Gant, who had previously submitted a motion for Oxfordshire County Council to become a Council of Sanctuary in November, said he was exploring the option of free travel for asylum seekers with officers. Mr. Gant added, "In this country, our government has a rule that says that people in your situation are not by law allowed to have any recourse to public funds. Who does it hurt to give you a bus pass? Why do we do that? The ban placed on the refugees from the Middle Eastern countries comes as Ukrainian refugees are allowed to work in the UK."
A council pleaded with vandals to stop after a spate of criminal damage in Whitney. A bus shelter at Newland in the town was targeted overnight on Sunday, and glass in the windows was smashed. Whitney Town Council said in a statement that it was hugely disheartening and disappointing. In addition, a hanging basket stand was also broken by the town hall over the weekend, said the council. It added that taxpayers would be footing the bill for the vandalism. Anyone with information about either incident should contact Thames Valley Police on the non-emergency number 101.
The future Queen of Belgium's rumoured romance with an Oxford University student could be over. Crown Princess Elizabeth has been at the esteemed institution since 2021, studying a history and politics undergraduate course at Lincoln College. The 22-year-old is next in line to the Belgium throne, as she is the eldest of King Philippe and Queen Mathilde of Belgium's 4 children. It was reported earlier this year that the princess has developed a relationship which transcends friendship with another student. She and Nicholas Dodd of Rochdale first met on their matriculation day in October 2021, with Mr. Dodd reading history. The 20-year-old, who is a student at Lincoln College, comes from the Pennine village of Whitworth, just outside Rochdale in Lancashire. They ended up in the same study group and there was an instant connection, a source told Het Leeste News, a Dutch language newspaper based in Antwerp. Later they studied together, wrote essays and worked on projects together. The pair's relationship may be fractured, however, by Elizabeth leaving Oxford this summer. She is set to complete her course this summer, and the Belgian Royal Palace announced last month that the Royal would move to the United States. A statement released from the Belgian Royal Palace said, "After having recently successfully completed the admission tests, Her Royal Highness Princess Elizabeth, Duchess of Brabant, will begin a master's degree in public policy this summer at Harvard University, at Harvard Kennedy School in Boston. This two-year course will complete her university education following her bachelor's degree in history and politics at the University of Oxford, Lincoln College. The princess was also selected for an honorary award from the Fulbright Programme, the international exchange programme in the field of education of the United States Department of State. With the future queen moving stateside, it remains to be seen if she and Nicholas's relationship will remain as close as reported. Mr. Dodd was a pupil at Rochdale's Sixth Form College, which is a high-performing state school with nearly 1,500 pupils. Mentioned in an article on the school's website, Dodd wrote that he had actually applied to Oxford because he felt he had nothing to lose in trying. I applied to Oxford because I wanted the opportunity to study at a world-class university, he said. It was also worth it because the experience developed my analytical skills, so even if my application failed, the skills I learned will still help me now and in approaching my work in the future. Princess Elizabeth, on the other hand, would become Belgium's first ever queen if she was to ascend the throne.
Peter Chioso has seen similarities between Oxford United and his former club, Luton Town, who went all the way from non-league to the Premier League within 9 years. The Hatters were ultimately relegated this season, finishing 18th in the top flight and 6 points shy of safety. But they didn't go down without a fight while capturing the imagination in English football. Chioso played 22 times for Luton during a 2.5 year spell, which included loan stints at Bolton Wanderers, Northampton Town and MK Dons. Speaking to BBC Radio Oxford's The Dub podcast, Chioso discussed the parallels he sees between United and the Hatters. He said, "One of the main reasons I signed for Oxford is that I've got that feeling that I had at Luton. I feel like Luton was such a special place in terms of the fans and the club. It's that family spirit they had, and that took us a long way. When I look at Oxford, I see that again in terms of how the club is. I felt it when I spoke to the gaffer. And sometimes as a player, you feel it. That can take you a long way, especially when you have the good players that we have as well."
Delivery giant Evri has revealed plans to invest £19 million in order to rapidly expand its fleet of electric cargo bikes, which operates in Oxford. The company said it has plans to run around 3,000 bikes for deliveries within the next decade. Evri, which rebranded from Hermes in 2022, said it will grow its fleet of e-cargo bikes from 33 to 99 within the next year and will expand its number of electric vehicles from 168 to 270. The company said it is part of its ambitions to become the UK's most sustainable parcel firm and comes amid efforts to become a net zero business by 2035. As well as running in Oxford, Evri already has electric cargo bikes operating in London, Bristol and Cambridge, and the company currently delivers 1.5 million parcels a year by bike or electric vehicle. The business, which has around 8,000 employees in the UK, aims to triple that number to around 4 million over the next year. Martin De Jong, chief executive at Evri, said, "Pedal Power will rev up our efforts to reimagine parcel deliveries in the UK as we aim to become the biggest operator of e-cargo bikes in the sector. We achieved a 9% decrease in carbon emissions since last year."
Headington Quarry Morris Dancers commemorated the 100th anniversary of folk music champion Cecil Sharp's death earlier this week. More than 80 people attended, and there were performances at the Mason's Arms in Headington and the laying of a wreath on folk musician and dancer William Kimber's grave at Holy Trinity Church graveyard. Mr. Kimber's great-great-grandson, Chris Kimber Nicholson, danced a jig in tribute, while Andy Turner played Mr. Kimber's concertina. Cecil Sharp's considerable influence on English folk music and dance was noted during the day through a series of talks. There were talks from David Sutcliffe, the author of a recent biography on Mr. Sharp, Brian Peters, who discussed Mr. Sharp's song collecting, Michael Heaney, who examined the state of Headington Quarry in 1899, and Keith Chandler, who recounted memories of Morris dancing. Mr. Sharp's enthusiasm and use of the media at the time ensured a strong public profile for the music and dance, influencing composers such as Holst, Finzi, and Vaughan Williams. His efforts helped to inspire and influence folk revivals across the globe, from the USA to Scotland to Ireland.
One of the Football Association's key policies is that our beautiful game must be accessible to everyone, regardless of a person's age, gender, sexuality, nationality, or physical ability. Prior to the launch of Oxford Phoenix, the city's only dedicated refugee football squad, in June 2021, opportunities for refugees and asylum seekers living locally to integrate into their new communities through football were non-existent. Fast forward 3 years, and the landscape of Oxford's refugee football community has changed significantly. In partnership with Oxford United in the community, Refugee Resource and Asylum Welcome, the club has gone from strength to strength. It has helped city-based refugees and asylum seekers in need of respite to develop new skills, to make friends and positively contribute to the local community. We've played fixtures against local schools and clubs, held twice-weekly training sessions, and even linked up with the Red Cross to provide an Oxford United match day experience at the Kasam Stadium. To date, our focus has centred around enhancing players' skills on the pitch while supporting their development off it. With our squad growing from single digits to over 40 members today, broadening our refugee football operation has been identified as the next progression step. We're not content standing still and having plans in place to upscale our impact even further this year. We want to engage female players, have plans to run a Refugee World Cup, and work with women and children via our Mums Play setup in Whitney, which breaks down barriers mums and their children might face regarding formalised football participation. Another ambition is to enter Oxford Phoenix into an 11-a-side Oxfordshire's Men's League for the first time. Still to this day, a number of our players cannot speak fluent English, although it's a language they're rapidly learning. To take Oxford Phoenix from a start-up club funded by the hard work and commitment of three local charities to entering a regional football league would be a huge achievement. Supporting refugees and asylum seekers to become the best version of themselves during times of great uncertainty is a real passion of mine. My father was a refugee and a living example of the positive impact those who are granted asylum can have on their new community. Refugee Week provides an opportunity to celebrate the contributions, creativity, and resilience of refugees and asylum seekers. Oxford Phoenix is a real-life example of how, by working together, positive outcomes can be achieved in even the most devastating circumstances. This was written by Yusuf El Badadi, who is the Inclusion Football Officer at Oxfordshire's Football Association.
Blenheim Palace's landscape is set to undergo its biggest change in over a century. Head gardener Andy Mills is drawing on the garden's extensive heritage to bring rediscovered treasures to the fore for visitors. Created over the centuries by garden designers such as Henry Wise and Achille Duchesne, Blenheim Palace's formal gardens capture different horticultural styles from across the ages. This summer, visitors can enjoy the water terraces, the Duke's private Italian garden, the secret garden, the Churchill Memorial Garden, and the Rose Garden. As part of Mr. Mills's transformation project, the secret garden is being brought back to life to restore the tranquility the 10th Duke originally strived for. The Rose Garden is not only coming into flower, but this summer boasts a display of exotics, including agaves, yuccas, and hardy bananas. Other summer garden highlights at Blenheim this summer include a tribute to the Battle of Blenheim soldiers through a formation of red lobelias in the Italian garden, a recreated path from the Temple of Diana to the Rose Garden, and the rejuvenated butterfly house with an array of exotic plants. Additionally, visitors can also delve into the walled garden's insights about bees and other pollinators in the all-new Rouse Honey Hive.
With a heat wave finally about to sweep the UK, a dip in the pool is a great way to cool down, as temperatures reach as high as 27 degrees Celsius across the county this week. You can take your pick from a variety of outdoor pools and lidos in Oxfordshire. Among the best option for outdoor swimming pools are Hinksey Heated Outdoor Pool, Hinksey Park, Oxford Abbey Meadow Outdoor Pool, Abingdon, Riverside Pool, Wallingford, Wood Green Lido, Banbury, Woodstock Open Air Pool, Woodstock, Isis Pool, Oxford, Sunnymead Bathing Place, Oxford, Wolvercote Bathing Place, Oxford, Longbridges Bathing Place, Oxford, and the Lido, Chipping Norton. Wild swimming in Oxford's waterways is popular but risky. If you choose to swim, remember it's at your own risk and be aware of the Wild Water Code. Oxford has lost many of its official bathing spots, such as Tumbling Bay. In April 2022, Wolvercote Mill Stream, north of Port Meadow, became the second stretch of river in the UK to achieve designated bathing water status. However, the area is downstream of sewage treatment works, which frequently discharge untreated waste. For a safer swimming option, people can visit Hinksey Outdoor Pool, which can be found just off Abingdon Road.
As excitement mounts for the upcoming Ox Trail, Stagecoach West has gifted 50 gold 7-day mega rider passes to staff and volunteers at Sobow House Hospice. The Oxfordshire Hospice Charity is this year's beneficiary of the event. The bus operator has sponsored an ox designed by artist Mary Blackshaw, which will be showcased during the art trail. Chris Hansen, Managing Director at Stagecoach West, said, "The staff and volunteers at Sobel House Hospice do such incredible work, and we wanted to do something to champion them as we head into the much anticipated Ox Trail season. We've given them free travel around the region to enjoy much deserved days out, or maybe even to visit some of the ox sculptures further afield. Through its sponsorship, Stagecoach West is supporting Sobel House Hospice and backing an event to bring people together and encourage tourism in Oxford. Beth Marsh, Director of Fundraising at Sobel House Hospice, said, "We are very grateful to Stagecoach West for the generous donation of travel passes for our staff and volunteers. Everyone is getting very excited about this year's Ox Trail, so this is a wonderful way to kickstart the festivities."
That was the last of our articles for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.